Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I welcome you here. And I'm glad that you're listening in and that you care enough about your Lord that you're devoted to and your allegiance is to, that your God is important enough for you to sit down and to find out what your God says. And that's what the ABCs of Christian Growth is all about, is to encourage you as a born-again child of God and to strengthen you in what you already know about the Lord's Word and what His will is, or either to find out something brand new and be excited about it. So thank you for joining in today. I want to recap just a little bit on what we have already studied, and let's see, we're on the study of prayer, and our lesson number 16 is what we're on, the letter P, studying the letter the subject of prayer in the Scriptures, which is very important. It's hard to put in words how important prayer is. It takes a long time in your Christian growth for God the Holy Ghost to teach you what that praying is more than just thank you for the food, Lord, we give you thanks for it, amen. And that's the only time that you address the Lord at all during the day. But as we grow, God the Holy Ghost begins to teach us and draw us nearer to Himself and to help us to form a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And as we do, our relationship comes closer and closer and closer. And you know how relationships do. The closer your relationship gets, conversation and the more communication you use between each other and you share with each other. And you become to where you love one another the more and the more and the more, and you want to talk. Your desire grows to talk. And that's kind of how prayer works with the Lord, as far as what I know and what the Scriptures know and what the Lord's been doing with me personally. I've been knowing the Lord for 38 years, and I was born again back in Ramstein, Germany, back in 1982. And I'm just now, and I don't know if that's something that I should be ashamed of. I mean, I've taught with the Lord for all through those 38 years, but I didn't really know, I really didn't know how important prayer was until recently. And that's a long time, but it's nothing to the Lord. 38 years is nothing to the Lord. He's eternal, lives in eternity. We live in time. And 38 years is almost half your life, you know. But, the thief on the cross, he didn't talk to the Lord but one time before he went to be with Him in paradise. So, see, time really doesn't play a factor in the matter. It's the condition of your heart and your relationship with your Heavenly Father after you've been born again. And the sooner you get to where your relationship with the Lord is in such a way to where you desire to talk to Him. You walk around during the day and you're talking with Him all the time. We talked about the prayer positions and what kind of position should I be in when I pray. Remember we talked about that? And there's really not an established position, but what I want to say, bowing on your knees or laying on or prostrate on your face like a lot of them did, Moses. And I imagine when we stand before God and we see Him in all His glory, and there's not going to be a one of us. It's going to be we're going to try to get as small as we can get. You know it? But when it comes to prayer and our devotion to the Lord, and as we grow to know Him and love Him, we go throughout the whole day talking with him, and walk and talk with him all day long. And then, as we seen in our last study, that some of the men in the scriptures and the women had specific times of prayer that they set aside, that they were devoted to the Lord. And what we're going to go over today, well, what we have been studying is we studied what is prayer to begin with, remember, and then why should I pray? And we looked into the scriptures about that. And then how do I pray? That's where we got into to the positions, what postures that we got into. Remember that we could stand and pray and we could sit and pray. And there's really not a wrong kind of posture to be in except a disrespectful one. Something that the Lord wouldn't be pleased with. I mean, we judge our conversation and our communication with other people according to their posture. So why wouldn't the Lord? When should I pray? We talked about, and that was when we talked about Daniel and David and the Lord Jesus Christ when he prayed, and having definite times of prayer, remember? And then the last recording we talked about where, or talked about when should I pray, and this recording we're going to talk about where should I pray. And are there specific places that we should go and pray? Does the Bible say that? I mean, in the scriptures, we've seen immediate prayer to where somebody prayed right away, and it was not a planned kind of thing. It was something that was immediate and came, it just came into being all of a sudden, and they found a need that they needed to speak with the Lord and speak with Him immediately and right now. And then there were times to where people were sitting around waiting, like, for instance, in the temple, when there were certain times that you went to the temple to pray, and there were timed prayings to where everybody would wait and they would show up in certain places. I mean, which one of them is right? What does the Bible say? Well, we're going to look at some scriptures today and talk about this for a little while, or for a little bit. And where should I pray? Now, in God's holy word, we find several kinds of prayer illustrated in there. And that's where we find out what the truth is and what we should believe. You say, well, what should I believe, Brother Thurman? Well, you believe what the scriptures say, and we believe it by studying scripture with scripture. Not what this man says, not what this man. I mean, we show respect for people's knowledge of the scriptures, unless, of course, they are smarter than God and they got their snoot up in the air and think that they're somebody. And, you know, we don't have much to do with that kind of behavior. The Lord tells us to be humble. And He said, the last shall be first and the first shall be last, and to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And He will exalt you in due time. But when men exalt themselves, even with the word of God, they exalt themselves. We see that in the scriptures where they steal the glory from God and have the glory for themselves. And the Lord Jesus said, behold, you have your reward. But that's not what we're interested in. What we're interested in is giving the Lord glory and learning from His Word and comparing Scripture with Scripture. One, the Scripture will define its own meaning, and that's the way we should study. Not that we don't listen to others, but we don't sit around like society does today and say, well, my Bible says, well, my Bible says, well, my Bible, and it turns into a stinking argument, and nobody knows nothing or finds anything out at all. That's not why we approach our God's Word. We approach our God's Word with fear and reverence, and we want to know what the Lord says. We don't go at God's Word to challenge Him and try to catch Him in a lie, which is something you're never going to do anyway. But we approach Him with humble hearts, and we fear Him, and we approach His Word with reverence and respect, and as it is indeed the truth. And we believe Him, and we ask our Lord to give us understanding and help us to understand God's Word. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that in Christendom that look the part, but they don't know diddly squat about what the Scriptures say. They don't know diddly squat. They have absolutely no relationship with the Lord. They just carry a Bible around and pretend that they know this and know that and know this and know that. And, you know, the Lord says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh at that kind of ridiculous behavior." The Lord is not that kind of God. The Lord wants truth and sincerity in the heart. So when we approach God's Word, let's be sincere. Let's compare Scripture with Scripture and study to show ourselves approved unto God and find out what the Scriptures say about things, which we're going to find out today about where should I pray. Now, I know we're in class right now, so I shouldn't be acting like I'm preaching. I ain't acting about nothing but behaving like I'm preaching. But these are good things that we're finding out, okay? Now, in God's Holy Word, we find several kinds of prayer illustrated, and we're going to find, as your relationship with the Lord grows, you're going to eventually be communing with Him in these ways. So what we're going to do is go over several different kinds of prayer that are illustrated in the Scriptures, and we see them in the Scriptures and read about them in the Scriptures, and just get the truth from it, because as your prayer and your communicating relationship grows with the Lord, and the Lord helps you and teaches you and how to come to Him what He will listen to and what He will not listen to, and what is a place where should we pray, and is one place more important than the other? Will God listen to you in a more effective way? Can you get God to listen to you in a more effective way if you go to a certain place? Is one more important than the other? Well, we're going to see that. Now, let's read some Scripture. First of all, the very first kind of praying that the Bible talks about is personal or secret prayer. Personal or secret prayer. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." Nobody should have a problem knowing what a closet is. "Enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now, there's a lot of meat in that right there, and very fundamental, and a child can understand that. When it comes to prayer, where should I pray? What's the Bible teaching us right there about personal or secret prayer? It's teaching us that it's very impressive to the Lord that you would go out of your way to get by yourself so that nobody else can be around and there would be no kind of acting in it or any kind of showyism in it. Your intent is to get with the Lord and you and Him talk it out alone. And the only reason that, and a lot of people call it closet praying, which is nothing wrong with that because the Lord used that word in the Scriptures. But it's personal and secret praying. It's praying that nobody else knows about but you and the Lord. And you're going to find that you're going to be doing that. And the Lord's going to teach you how to do that, and He's going to draw you to do that in your walk with Him and your learning and your maturity in praying. Jesus calls the place, He called the place for this kind of praying. What we're talking about is where should I pray? Well, this is called closet praying. Okay, Jesus calls this kind of praying closet praying. He said, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet." Now, He's not necessarily talking about, He's given an example there. It's not necessarily, what if you don't have a closet? That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is I'm trying to give you an example of what kind of praying this is that I'm teaching you about. It says, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Most closets are secret. You know, any kid in a house and playing around or this, that, and the other and playing hide-and-go-seek, where's one of the best places to go hide? In the closet. Why? Because it's secret. It's secret. Nobody goes looking in the closet for nothing, unless you need a broom and you made a mess. But in the closet, that's where the coats hang. That's where the storage is. That's where the shoes are, blah-bitty, blah-bitty, blah. But nobody goes to the closet. So when you go to the closet for prayer, you're going to the closet for the purpose of being in secret, and you would expect that in, we're talking about where should I pray, you're expecting in this closet kind of prayer, when you attempt to do this, is that you're getting in a place where you're not going to be disturbed or interrupted, and that you can talk with the Lord and not have to, you know, the enemy is going to do everything he can to throw at you. And if you're praying right in the middle of some place where 500 things can happen, or he can make 500 things, the telephone ring, you praying in your living room, telephone ring, and the electricity goes off, and the blankety blank, and the blobbity blob. And I mean, he'll do anything and everything, especially when you're trying to pray. Especially when you're trying to pray. Let me say that again. Especially when you're trying to pray. But if you go into the closet, you got the upper hand. And you say, Brother TV, you really believe that? You better believe I believe that. I don't only believe it, I know it. Start counting the interruptions whenever you go to talk with the Lord, and you're sincere about it, and you want to talk to him, or at least you're going to be disciplined, and you're going to talk to him anyway, even though you're being tempted to do this and that and the other, and you discipline yourself to go talk with your Lord because of your respect for the Lord. Count how many times and how many thoughts that you have for reasons that would stop you from praying just before you pray. You won't be able to have enough. You'll need more hands and more fingers to count. But closet praying, personal and secret praying, very important. You're going to use that in your Christianity and your walk with the Lord. And the Bible teaches and talks about it. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy heavenly Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward the openly. You know, it makes a difference to the Lord about where you're praying how sincere, where you pray kind of shows different types of sincerity, doesn't it? Because the Bible says the Heavenly Father will see closet praying. It's the trouble that you went to get to your Heavenly Father, which is no trouble at all anyway if you're seeking a closet to talk to the Lord about, and you're seeking solitude with the Lord to where you can be absolutely alone with no interruptions. That's kind of impressive, isn't it? I mean, if somebody wanted to talk to you and made special plans and special this and special that just to get you alone so that they could talk with you and didn't want anybody around and no interruptions and this, that, and the other, it would seem a lot more important to you and a lot more special and a lot more attentive when it come to your conversation, wouldn't it? Sure it would. And the Lord's no different. He is impressed by closet praying and by secret and personal prayer, especially because it comes from your heart. You're not going to accidentally talk to the Lord in the closet. You're going to do that on purpose. And when you do something on purpose to talk to the Lord, your heart is in it. And the Bible says that God looks at the hearts. And the first thing the Lord sees probably when we're headed to the closet or seeking out a place to go be by ourselves is looks at that heart. And when that heart is in such a way to where it is desiring and yearning to talk with the Lord and you want to get alone with him. And you want to get alone with him without any interruptions or anybody around or anybody else's opinion. It's just you and him. That impresses the Lord. And the Lord said it impresses him enough to reward you openly for it. And he has done that for me. I can vouch for that. He has rewarded me openly for talking to him about things in private. That's why they call it private. Nobody ever knows your prayer life. It's not spoken over a speaker or a loud horn or a bullhorn or nobody else in the world knows about this prayer. This is just you and your Heavenly Father. This kind of prayer. Jesus assures us that God hears and answers our secret prayers. There's another kind of prayer that's not all. Secret prayer and closet praying is not all the kinds of praying where we would go when we want to pray. There's another one in the scriptures that it talks about, which is public praying. It's called public praying. And some people might call it something different, but we know what public means, don't we? Okay, and let's look at some scriptures. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5 and 12 says this: Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Public prayer. This is where a lot of saints come together and everybody prays about the same thing. Or you have everybody praying and one after the other. And it's public praying. Everybody comes together for the same thing. For instance, this scripture that we just read when Peter was in prison. The church just didn't forget him. The church came together on purpose for the purpose of praying together to the Lord. And I'm sure these people had closet prayer also about this and were personally talking with the Lord about Peter because they loved Peter. And he was a brother in Christ. But beside the closet praying, they decided that they were going to come together. And many of them decided that they were going to come together and they were going to pray for him. And even when Peter was let out of prison, that angel got him out of prison. He went and knocked on the door. They was praying for him at the time he showed up, remember? They didn't even believe he was out, but God had answered their prayer, and he was knocking on the door. But Acts chapter 4, verse 24, that's what that says. And then Acts chapter 4, verse 24, we just read chapter 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 24 says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, all of them praying the same thing, and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Public, unashamed prayer, talking to God in public. Everybody gathered together, and when they heard that, it was talking about some preaching there and talking about the Word of God. And I think this particular part was talking about some of the rules that the New Testament, they was finding out about the New Testament. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. They did. Public praying. People together, unashamed of their Lord and willing to pray to the Lord together. Public praying. Most of the time you get public praying in the assembly. But the assemblies have changed nowadays. And they're not like what the scriptures presented them whenever the assembly began. But there's a lot of corruption, the devil's business, and the end times are coming, and the assemblies are changing. and a lot of the devil's business is moving into the church. I'm not saying all of them, and I never say that because that's not true. There are scriptural assemblies that are coming together all over the place, but the thing about it is that the enemy is deliberately attacking the church now, and if you can't see it, you go to some assemblies and you'll find out. But when it comes to prayer, there's a lot of public praying that's not respected anymore, but we're not going to disrespect it. We're going to publicly pray and not be ashamed, aren't we? The Bible says in Ephesians, listen to this, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20, speaking to yourselves, plural, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we sing together, but we give thanks to Him together. Giving thanks to Him is praying and thanking Him and talking to Him. Talking to the Lord and conversing with Him is praying. It's praying. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Public praying. Now, this kind of praying is usually done in the church meetings and the gatherings of believers. And a lot of times there are specific meetings that are special meetings that are brought together according when something happens in the church. For instance, somebody's in the hospital and they're in dire straits. They need some prayer immediately. It's not just casual, everyday prayer, if you will. I don't mean that to sound unimportant. I just mean this is a category of prayer that that everybody comes together in a special need, like, for instance, when Peter was in jail. Now, in such meetings, in these kind of public meetings, the public prayer is worded by one person at a time. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, now, I've been to some churches to where when they go to pray, everybody in the church prays. I mean, everybody in the church prays. You hear this guy over here, this woman over here, quite a few, the whole church praying at the same time. And this is mostly in the Methodist assembly that I would be going to as far as preaching and presenting a ministry and stuff like that. But they would pray that way. Is that scriptural? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and 40, if therefore the whole church be come together, that's not very hard to understand. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Let all things be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. Public praying. You know, I was in a church one time when I was young, very young. And me and my brother, all I remember is me and my brother went to that church for some reason. I didn't know anything about church or anything about God. All I know is I think we might have just been out fooling around on Sunday, and we decided we was going to go into this church, and we went in there. I don't remember Mama or Daddy being part of it. I just remember that we was in the back pew, sitting in the back pew of that thing, and we was back there horsing around, you know, and whatever was going on in the church was going on, and there was an old, old woman that was sitting in front of us. You could only see her from shoulder up, you know, wooden pews, and we was back there and hitting on one another. We wasn't making a ruckus or anything, you know, but we was just doing what boys do. And then all of a sudden, this woman, I mean, the whole church starts making noise. starts making noise, but specifically this old woman, she must have been in her 80s or something like that, but she stands up on that pew, gets up and climbs up on that pew and is stomping around with them old hard sole shoes on that hard wood, and she is yabba dabba doing, man. And that scared the dickens out of me, man. I hit the floor. I went down on the floor. My brother did too. I think we thought we was under attack. But anyway, different kinds of praying, and I think this is the kind of stuff that we just read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. He said, let everything be done decently and in order. I mean, don't scare the life out of somebody when they're coming in the church. You know, I mean, an unbeliever comes in the church, and unlearned people come in there. They don't know about the meaty things of God, or haven't learned that much about the scriptures yet. And unbelievers, especially the unsaved, being in there. The Lord tells us to let all things be done decently and in order, and he's talking about prayer too, and public prayer. Remember who we're talking to. When we're talking to the Lord in the prayer closet, or we're talking to the Lord in public, we're talking to the Lord. And you just don't talk. You can say that this world is in such a way to where anybody and everybody, even the little bitty children now, say whatever they want to say out of their little fleshly heart to anybody. They don't respect adults. They cuss you out in heartbeat. They don't care. But God cares the way you talk to him. And he's mentioned that quite a few times in the scriptures. And, you know, I mean, the Lord gets to the point to where he says, he would say, how dare you? Something like that goes on, you know. But public praying. Now, this kind of praying is usually done in church meetings and gatherings of believers, and then in these meetings of public prayer. It's usually worded by one person at a time, so that things are decent and in order. And the idea of prayer in public praying is that everybody in the assembly understands all the time and exactly what is being said and what is going on, so that there is no confusion. One of the big things in the scriptures when it comes to talking with the Lord and conversing with him, and conversing among the public assembly and in the public assembly, is that there is no confusion at all. Everybody knows what the Lord said, what the Lord means, and what everybody else is saying to the Lord and what they mean by it. The Lord is interested in accountability when it comes to public praying, and he does hold you responsible for your behavior when it comes to talking to him. Now, when one leads in the congregation in prayer, everyone participates in that prayer by saying amen, and we find that in the scriptures. It says it in the scriptures, and amen means, in parentheses, so be it. In other words, you put your signature on that prayer. You agree with that prayer that has just been said, and you amen that prayer. And don't be deceived how important an amen is, because the whole Lord holds you responsible for what you are part of, even a prayer. If you hear somebody pray something that is disrespectful to the Lord, or you hear somebody pray something that belligerent, or that the Lord are lacking the fear of the Lord, and that would make the Lord angry, you better not be part of it. You better not amen it. When one leads in the congregation in prayer, everyone participates in that prayer by saying amen, you know, at the conclusion of the prayer. And that, you know, that's how 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 16 says, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, How shall he that occupieth the room or the unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? You see, no confusion. The idea of praying and talking with the Lord in a public assembly or in public is that everybody understands what is being said and is in agreement about it. So if you have any unbelievers or have any unlearned or you have people in the assembly, everybody, when everything's said and done, everybody in the assembly ought to be able to amen it. That's not all. In a public assembly, especially in mixed company, now, what does the Bible say? And we're going to see that. And if you want to argue with somebody, don't argue with me, argue with the Lord. I don't know why he chose that or chose what we're fixing to talk about, but he chose it. And if it was any other way, it would be right also, because he's the one that said so. You say, what are you talking about, Brother TV? Well, in public praying, the Bible says, in mixed company, not this racial blabbity-blabbity stupid unified universe that the world's coming up with now. It's talking about men and women. And, of course, you heard about the sodomites and what they're doing in government now, didn't you? They're pushing for this special rights for the sodomites, and it's going to involve rules that you can't say man or woman anymore. That's the stupidest thing you ever heard. I mean, what else are you going to say? What's the preacher going to say when he marries a man and a woman? This thing and that thing? I mean, that's how foolish this world's getting. It's getting stupid, so stupid that it can't be figured out at all. Used to, you could figure something stupid out, but you can't figure this one out. But in mixed company among Christians and among believers, both men and women, public prayers are offered by men. By men. Now you say, well, where does it say that? Well, let's read it. Let's read it. And let's see what it says. And let's not be offended by it. Why would you be offended by something that God says is good? Now, I'm not making no joke about men and women. I love talking to both of them. Men and women. I love praying with both of them. But God says it should be done this way. You want to argue with the Lord? Go in your closet and tell him you don't like it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34, the Bible says, let your women keep silence in the churches. Plural. Not just one church. All of them. For it is not, in case you didn't understand that and didn't get that right, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. I don't know why, and I don't know why the Lord said that. But he said it. Now, you believed everything in this recording and in this lesson all the way up till now. What's the problem now? Is God right all the time? Listen, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. The law said that, but we're reading the New Testament. This is Corinthians. This is one of the Pauline epistles. This is for the New Testament church. And I don't know why the Lord said that, and I'm not going to try to guess. And I'm not going to make any funny jokes about it. You know, everybody likes to be funny and all this stuff. But, you know, I mean, the Lord wants men to pray when it's a mixed company. I don't know why, but the Scriptures say so. So what do? We mind the Scriptures, don't we? All right, well, let's compare Scripture with Scripture. Is that the only one in the Bible that says so? Well, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8 through 12. The Bible says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness. With good works, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. That's New Testament. That's 1 Timothy. So Corinthians and 1 Timothy said it in detail. I don't know why, but I believe it. I believe God meant it. I believe it's inspired by the Lord. It's the Lord's mind. And he put his mind in those men to speak and for somebody else to write it down to give to us today, having his inspired living word right before us that we're reading right now. Now, I don't know why the Lord done that, but he has reasons, and we should obey him. So women, obey him. In the assembly, when it comes to praying and it comes to assembling and talking and things that are being said, that, you know, one thing that shows you is that the Lord cares about what's being said in us in a so-called coming together in his name. He cares about the conversation that's going on, and it makes a difference to him, and he is monitoring it. So I don't know why the Lord, I think that when a woman is, any woman that I've ever seen, a Christian woman that I have ever seen that obeys this particular subject right here, I've had nothing but the highest regard and highest respect for her. I mean, any of them. And I still don't know why God said that. But whenever I see one in that manner, I have the highest regard and highest respect for her. I really do. Moving right along. That's not all. Not only do we have personal and secret praying, which is called closet praying or public praying, and then public praying that we talked about, we also have another kind of praying, which is called partnership praying or group praying. You say, well, isn't that public praying? Well, not exactly. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, let's don't get this all perverted and messed up and everything. I've heard preachers, and maybe you've heard it also, that, where two or three are gathered together, God's in the midst of them. Well, let me tell you something. Nowadays in the New Testament nowadays, God better be in the midst of you. He better be dwelling in the midst of you, in your body. God don't show up when two or three of you get together. He's already there. He better be dwelling in you. Where two or three believers come together, and the Lord's talking about that, where two or three believers come together, the Lord's already there, present. He's in you. He's not talking about showing up because two or three of you are praying. What he's talking about is catching the Lord's attention, catching more of the Lord's attention. Let me try to see if I can explain this. Where two or three of you agree, that's what the Lord said. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree, in another place he says two or three, where two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. In other words, two or three Christians are concerned enough about something that they're burdened in their heart together about this thing, and they're willing to come together and lift it up together to the Lord as a special prayer, lifted up together. The Lord's not saying that He'll show up because all three of you are praying the same thing. He's already there. The Holy Ghost is taking them prayers to before the throne, remember? But if there's two, the Lord's saying, if it's important enough that two or three of you would come together and have this thing on your heart to where all three of you want to talk to the Lord at the same time about it. Jesus said that Jesus said it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And then He explained Himself. He said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's not talking about showing up. He's talking about already being there. And what He's saying is that they're thinking like Jesus thinks. He's in the midst of them. All three of them coming together for the same thing and the same purpose to talk with the Heavenly Father and to request something from the Father. Jesus said that He's in the midst in agreement with it because all three of you are agreeing on it. It's that important, and that it's a good prayer. Are you getting this? Maybe I ain't explaining it right, but it's not that Jesus shows up. Jesus is already dwelling. The Spirit of Jesus is already dwelling in you if you have eternal life and you've believed on the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you call upon Him? The Bible says if you called upon Him, then He saved you. And at the same time He saved you, He gave you the earnest of the Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. God the Holy Ghost moved inside of your body. And He lives and resides there. And He's the down payment of your inheritance, eternal life. And He's already there. What Jesus is saying, when is where two or three come together on this and they go through all the things that you got to go through for two or three people, and this is important enough for two or three people to be concerned about, then Jesus says, my concern is in the midst of you. I'm concerned about it too, is what the Lord's saying. If you're concerned about it that much where two or three of you get together and you'll pray to the Heavenly Father about it, He says, it's going to concern me that way too. Now, the Lord's concerned with our closet prayers. He's concerned with our public prayers. But this prayer right here, where people especially take it upon themselves to get a hold of the Lord about something, and two or three of you do it, Jesus says, I'm in agreement with that, and I'm in the midst of you. Does that make sense? That's what it means. Okay, now, it would be a tremendous blessing if you're in your life, if you seek out another believer in the assembly to become prayer partners with. Ask God to lead you to someone that you can spend time in prayer together with. It's a tremendous thing to pray with one or two other people all the time. It's a tremendous thing. I don't have anybody that I pray with all the time right now. But when I was running a men's camp up there, we prayed quite a bit together. And when people would come to my office for counseling, I would get to pray with them over and over and over. But as far as having somebody that you met with all the time, just for the purpose of both of you going to prayer and talking with the Lord together, like you were standing on your feet and the Lord was standing right there in front of you, and you had a meeting with the Lord, and two or three of you come together to meet with Him, talking about one thing, that'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it? Well, if you have some people to pray with, like partnership praying or group praying like that, it's pretty special. And the Lord thought it enough out of all the things He could have said in His eternal word to add it in there concerning where should I pray. Partnership praying. And that's not all. We have one more. It's called family praying. Family praying. Very important. Very important. Very not done. I'm at a loss for upper class words today. This is something that has been failing Americans and America and the world for that matter, is family praying. The devil's not out on the street and in the bars and everywhere else nowadays. The devil's in the living room. And he's amongst the family, ripping the families all to pieces. And one thing that the enemy has attacked viciously is family praying. Most families are ashamed to pray together, even when they're Christians. You fathers out there, listen to this. Do you pray with your children? Because they think that you love God enough that you would invite them to come and talk with the Lord along your side? Or are you ashamed of the Lord? And unless you're in church. You see what I'm saying? You mothers, do you pray with your children? Do you know how much difference it makes in a family just how much strength it puts in a family or puts in your children to trust in you when they see you talking to God? And especially when you pull them aside and they have their little boo-hoos and their little troubles and their little hurt fingers and their this and that and the other, and they fail tests and all the things that go on in childhood and growing up and stuff like that. That, you know, one of the biggest parts of you installing the Lord as an important factor in children's lives, in your children's lives, is praying with them. Because a child does not believe that you love somebody like you say you love them unless you talk to them. And when a child sees mama and daddy talking with the Lord and that they would even think it important enough to bring me to pray with daddy, to pray with mama, to bring me in there, man, I must need to fear God. And what's the Bible say about that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's what you want to put in your children, is all the beginnings of things. But when a child sees daddy humble himself to pray before a Lord, then the child knows that all the things that they teach in school and teach about you have rights and you have this and you have that, they're going to think twice about all them lies. The only thing we have rights to do is not to do wrong. We have the right to do right and the right not to do wrong. Very important, family praying. This is one of the most, if not the most important time saints should be in prayer. How crucial is it for every person, husband, wife, and children, to participate in this kind of prayer? I mean, even your relationship between men and women in a marriage puts respect and honor in each other. Just because you hear one another pray in front of each other. This kind of prayer stops the enemy in so many different areas, from the trials of the husband and the trials of the wife, to parenting, to assuring the good character instilled in your children, all the way to the gathering of the church. Strong praying families make strong assemblies of believers. I mean, that's the truth. And we can't deny that. Listen to Acts. Acts chapter 10, verse 2. It says, a devout man, this is talking about, you'll know, Acts chapter 10, verse 2 and verse 30. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. This is a lost man that the Lord's fixing to save. His name's Cornelius. A devout man and one that feared God. He didn't know God, but he feared him with all his house. He taught his house, there's a God and we're going to fear him. And he didn't know much about him. He was praying to find out about him. Which gave much alms to the people. He knew the way that God said, even a lost man knows the way that God expects your behavior to be. On earth, as says, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. This man even fasted. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. God even answers the lost people's prayers when they're honoring him and respecting him and talking to him, and they mean it in their heart. The people say that God won't hear the prayers of the lost. Yes, he will. He heard yours, didn't he? He heard mine. God's not going to break his sovereignty, and he's not going to break his holiness, and he's not going to trespass against himself or his word for anybody that's lost or even saved. Or he's not going to go against his perfection. But he will hear a lost person. He heard Cornelius. That's why he sent Peter. Excuse me. But prayer. Pretty good stuff, huh? And let me remind you of something. We've been reading the scriptures. And everything that we've talked about today concerning where should I pray, we've searched the scriptures. We've not talked about what I think. We've talked about what does the scripture say. And concerning where should I pray, the Bible teaches us that there are four, maybe even a few more, different kinds of praying. The first one was personal or secret praying. And then the next one was public praying. The next one was also partnership or group praying. And the next one was family praying. And as we grow, as we said before when we started this lesson right here, as we said before, you're going to find that your relationship with the Lord, as it grows, you're going to eventually be communing with him in these ways. There's going to be times that you're going to want to be by yourself, you and God alone. Get out of my face. Get away from me. I don't want nobody around me. I want to talk to God by myself. There's going to be times that you're going to be in public and praying and hearing the prayers of others and the hearts of others and be able to knit your hearts together. Partnership praying, having some friends to pray with, maybe some of you women, especially you women, that you could come together and have some friends, sisters in the Lord, that you could come together and pray with. That's special. It's special. And then, of course, family praying. Very, very important. The people that say God is my friend and don't ever talk to him, there's something to that. Listen, as you grow in the Lord, and just like we're learning these ABCs of Christian growth, this is good stuff, and it's truth, it's doctrinal, it's the Word of God, and we're not talking about what this college says, or this seminary says, or this doctor, or this professor, or this, all this. What does the Bible say? And when God says it in His Word, and we're not confused about God's Word, we believe God's words are here. We don't believe that they were here and not here anymore. Blabbity, blabbity, blab. If we don't have God's Word, then you don't got nothing. You got no authority. You got no truth. You got no nothing. There's got to be an authority to back up some words. There's got to be an authority that backs up words of any accountability, of any words of importance, or words that have any meaning in them or any truth that you can stake your soul on. There has to be a powerful God behind that. You're not going to stake your soul on the big toe God, are you? How come? Because it's stupid. And the more you get to knowing the Lord and talking with Him, it's going to be sometimes, and I'm telling you this, and it's happened to me, that you're going to hear the Lord speak out loud to you sometimes. But it's not going to be out loud, but it will be out loud, if that makes any sense. And you're going to hear the Lord say some things. You'll hear the Lord laugh. I have. I stake my life on that. There's two different occasions I can think of right this very second that the Lord laughed with me. Not at me, but with me. And it's some of the most precious times in my life. And then there's going to be some times that you're going to talk with the Lord and pray and commune with the Lord that you're not going to be able to explain to anybody. It's like what Paul said. He said, what I seen up in glory when I went up there. He said, unspeakable things. There's no words that can put a picture in your mind about it. It can't be put in language. It can't, these things. And you're going to have some times with the Lord talking to Him as you see. This ought to be making you hungry. This kind of what the Scripture says about prayer. I mean, you got to remember, you got a God that loves talking to you. You got a God that welcomes you to come boldly to His throne. He wants to talk to you. God doesn't avoid us. I mean, if you're in such a way where you're going to get a whooping from the Lord, then you're going to get a whooping, and there ain't going to be much conversation in a whooping. There's a lot of screaming, but not no conversation. But if you're walking right before the Lord desires to talk with you all the time. And welcomes your prayer all the time. It's the enemy in our flesh that tries to keep, and this world that tries to keep us from talking to the Lord. Don't you know that? Why would somebody try to keep you from talking to God? They got to be an enemy. Well, that's going to conclude our study for today. We talked about, where should I pray? And we've talked about, when should I pray? We've talked about, how do I pray? Why should I pray? And what is prayer? Our study number 16 of the letter P. Now, when we come together again on the next one, we're going to talk about some personal requirements needed to get prayers answered. That's going to be interesting. And these are things that you need to know as a Christian. The things that we've already learned are pretty important, aren't they? They're ABCs. This is stuff that you should already know. And if you didn't have the privilege of learning it, you do now. And it ain't because Brother TV said it. It's because that Bible says it. Amen? Let me give you the verses for today. You ready? Got your pencils? Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. Acts chapter 12, verse 5 and 12. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and 40. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 through 12. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. And Acts chapter 10, verse 2 and verse 30. Amen. Well, that concludes our study. I think this is the fifth one in this letter P. And I'm having a great time, aren't you? I love going over God's Word and learning these things. And if you already know the stuff, all it does is just nail it down for you. It just solidifies it in you. It saturates you with the Word of God, and that's what you want. And it just brings those truths back to life, so, and supports you so that you can walk in this life and have joy. And your conscience be clear that you're doing right. And it'll help you to discern between what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's bad and what's up and what's down and all the polarities of life. So, praise the Lord. God bless you and thank you so much for listening today. And I got a lot of respect for y'all. I mean that for anybody that loves the Lord and that would discipline themselves to study. Talk to you on the next recording. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.